Welcome to the podcast of Trailblazers Incorporated, where we share the stories of trailblazing tradeswomen in hopes to inspire others to join the trades.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Today we have Andrea Dirtle. Did I say that right?
You did.
Thank you. Great. She is a Red Seal journeyman plumber and also a Class B gas fitter. She is from United Association Local 324 in Victoria, BC. Welcome, Andrea. Could you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I have been in the plumbing and piping trades for about 14 years now. I'm currently an instructor in the pipe trades department at Camosun College in Victoria. And I also work with our women in trades department at Camosun College. Letting women explore the trades is an avenue for a successful career for themselves.
That is really exciting. I absolutely love that you are an instructor. I think it's so important to have female trade instructors. We did talk a little bit before the podcast about things like that. And can you maybe, before we get into the questions, tell us a little bit about what you're teaching right now? Because I think it's just incredible what you're doing.
So right now, I'm doing a week stint in our foundations program, which is a pre-apprenticeship program. And I have a split class of both male and female students. But prior to that, I was working with a women in trades program. And a women in trades program at Camosun is a trades exploration program where 16 women get to come to the college with free tuition. And they get to explore up to 8 trades. So they can explore carpentry, electrical, pipe trades, heavy duty mechanic, automotive, and welding. And they get to try a week in each trade, get hands-on experience, and see if one of those trades is something that really fits for them and that they're passionate about. And we also offer those students job coaching opportunities. So we help them with their resume, their cover letter, preparing for interviews. And we also have a number of networking events. So we invite speakers in from the community, from different trades associations on the island and in BC. And as part of kind of the benefit of COVID, and I won't say there's many, we were able to do a few speaker events last year, including one that you participated in yourself, Jill, where we had speakers come from across the country. So we've been really fortunate to bring in people to kind of inspire these women and talk to them. I think it's really, really important to have that representation of other tradeswomen in the community, lifting them up and talking about their experiences. I'm also currently working on a curriculum development project to create more inclusive class spaces for women when they enter the trades. And that part and parcel will be us training instructors on how to deal with situations that might come up, addressing some of the barriers that women face when they enter the trades and when they enter schooling for the trades, because those barriers are going to be a little bit different than the ones that men face when they enter the trades. And just encouraging them along the way to, you know, go for that Red Seal, because I think that if you're passionate about it, and you really, really love it, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to attain that with the proper support to reach those goals. So that's the intent of that project.
Absolutely, man. You know your stuff. I want to promote your program. I don't live in BC. I live in Alberta. I wish I lived in BC because I would be like marching with a sign promoting that program. I'd be telling everyone everywhere. I just think it's fantastic. So how long is the Women in Trades program? Because you said there's a lot of different trades, not just plumbing, pipe fitting and welding, right?
Yeah, so we do 12-week samplers. And during non-COVID times, we were also doing work experience and volunteer opportunities with our students. So we'd take them out to organizations like we have on the island here called Hero Work, where they are a charitable organization that asks for construction and trades volunteers to renovate other charities. So the Salvation Army Soup Kitchen, for instance, needed a facelift, and that organization is going to be providing a facelift for them. We've done work for women's shelters in the past with them, where we bring our class of 16 female students. And it's amazing because they also get to engage with skilled female tradeswomen for the community who kind of take them under their wing and mentor them. So there's all these amazing opportunities for these women to get out into the community, develop that mentorship, and participate in other really cool extracurricular activities. So I love teaching in that program. I think it's amazing, and it just provides so many opportunities for people to explore things they couldn't have possibly imagined were a career for them, and certainly some weren't encouraged to explore them.
Exactly. The trades really aren't offered as much as we'd like to see, right, when you're in high school. So that's kind of a big thing that you're involved in. I'm involved in, and there's a lot of other people like Josh Zolan, who wrote Blue is the New White. It's just amazing. There's a lot of us that are really pushing for that. So good for you. And I think it's just so critical to have a female trade instructor, right? And for me, I'm a female welding instructor in Alberta, but it's such a game changer, right? It gets the students right off the hop used to women in trades, because now here you are teaching it, and you have to know your stuff in order to be an instructor for sure.
You know, so, and it's interesting, Jill, and I'll just kind of add to that a little bit. I never really realized when I first started instructing how big that impact of having a female instructor was, and what a kind of incredible responsibility, but also a really cool thing for other female students is to see that woman up there at the front of the class teaching you, knowing that they have gone through the school system just like you did. They went through their apprenticeship, they worked on the tools, they were out there getting dirty and working really hard, and now they know their stuff and they're in front of you teaching you in the class is kind of really empowering. I had a female student tell me, I want to be just like you. You know, like, you're a rock star, you're kicking ass, you're an instructor. This is the coolest thing ever. I have a female instructor. And she never expected to walk into her, you know, foundations level or pre-apprenticeship class and have a female instructor in the piping trades, and have a class with another 5 women in it, which is just incredible.
Yeah.
So I think that really, it humbles me to hear that kind of stuff. It makes me feel like, you know, there is a lot of responsibility, and there is a lot I can do to lift up those women that are coming into the skilled trades and kind of be a bit of a role model for them.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. Oh my God. Yeah. You hit the nail on the head. But I also think it's very important for the men in the class too, to have a female instructor. It teaches that respect that needs to be given to women in the trades, right? Because we still from time to time run into, you know, guys just don't know how to necessarily react to women when it's usually all guys. I honestly don't understand why it's an issue, but sometimes it's an issue. But yeah, I mean, if you have a female trade instructor, then you learn that respect and that we all just work the same, you know, we're all hard workers, right? It's, you know, the trades don't have genders, and we need to stop, you know, stop all the nonsense that is involved sometimes. So I would love to get started on the questions. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Okay. So how did you get started in the trades?
So when I left high school, I kind of, like most women probably of my age, and I'm kind of getting old now, but I didn't realize that the trades were really an option for me, or at least the mechanical trades. So I went into the culinary arts program after high school, and I worked for 7 years in commercial kitchens, cooking and, you know, just kind of living the kitchen lifestyle. And I decided that I just wasn't passionate about it anymore. It wasn't something that was inspiring me to get up and go to work every day. I really still loved cooking, but working in the food and beverage industry just wasn't, you know, something that I wanted to pursue for my entire life. My partner told me I should think about going back to school to get a trade. And I started kind of looking online and flipping through what was available for courses. And I came across plumbing and pipe trades, and I just thought it looked really, really interesting to me. You know, stereotypically, at that point in time, back in, you know, the late 2000s here on the island, there were barely any women getting into the plumbing and pipe trades. I think there was one other woman in the foundations program when I was at school, and she was, you know, 10 weeks ahead of me. So it was kind of a bit of a leap of faith on my part, something I was a bit interested in. And when I got to school and started getting my hands on the tools, I just fell in love with it. It was absolutely the right fit for me. It was so different and versatile, and there were so many different things I could do each and every day. And I'm kind of someone who gets bored easily. And I figured this was something that I would never get bored doing. because it just changed every day. There were so many facets to it. I could branch out and explore them all. And it really just captivated me and captured my attention. And I knew that I could apply myself both physically and mentally in the job. And that's really important for me as a person to be able to, you know, use my brain and use my body and do something that's both physically and mentally stimulating. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's great. And you also get to create something that's going to be there for so long. And to me, there's a sense of pride in the trades too. When you walk away from a job and you know you've done, you know, a really excellent job, there's that pride that nobody really talks about, but we have that. I mean, yeah, you have to be happy in what you do for a living, because it's, you know, it takes up most of your time, really, honestly.
Yeah, I can certainly speak to driving down the street with my kids in the city that we live in and going, I built those bathrooms over there and I put a new bathroom in that house. And, you know, I can remember certain really unique projects I worked on. And, you know, you drive by the Walmart on the highway and you go, I worked on that when it was just a pile of concrete and rubble. And it's almost like a cool legacy story to share with your family and your kids. So absolutely. I think that's also pretty important to, you know, you're right about the sense of pride. It's definitely neat to look back years later and see things that you had a hand in putting together.
Absolutely. Where I'm from in Medicine Hat, every time we go, and I don't say it anymore, but my son, you know, got sick of hearing it. I've like pretty much all the plants there I've worked at and I've done stuff. And I mean, welding you don't do in a house. I can't install a new bathroom, but there's a lot of other projects. I had an ornamental ironwork business for a long time. So there are little projects that I have done. There are some houses I did get involved in, but yeah, I mean, kids of tradespeople must just get really sick of hearing that. Hey, I did that. Oh, look at that. But it actually is encouraging for them to get into the trades as well, because they see that pride from their parents, right?
Yeah, I think it's inspiring, you know, when you're a kid, to go, oh, wow, my mom built that. You know, not a lot of kids can say that, I don't think. No. And I think it's kind of inspiring for my kids. I think at least one of them will get into the trades, maybe both, fingers crossed.
Yes, that's awesome. That's really, really cool. Yeah, my son wants to get into the trade. He'll be our fifth generation. So I'm hoping. I actually, just before Christmas, I moved my vehicle out of the garage and I set up the welding stuff that I have. I used to have a business, right? So I have my table and stuff, and I got him and his buddies out there, and they were all like, what, your mom's a welder? They were just, they made this stupid weird frame shaped like a house. I mean, I ended up throwing it out, but it is. I mean, when you can share your craft with your own kids, it's really exciting. Really, really it is. Okay. So now the next question I have for you is, how far have you explored your trade?
So I was really fortunate to do my entire apprenticeship with one company, and I really got to explore almost all facets of plumbing and also gas fitting, which was really neat for me. So I did commercial buildings, high rises, I did swimming pools, apartment buildings, hotels, big box stores, from basically a hole in the ground all the way up to complete finish stage when people were starting to move in and do occupancy. I was involved in quite a few residential housing projects. So I got to do custom homes, I got to do spec homes. So that was really, really cool. I got to work with a different type of building, and then I got to do a bunch of service work. And to be perfectly honest with you, out of the three, I really fell in love with the service work because, like I said, I kind of like different things going on each and every day. And service work provided me kind of that diversity of work. It enabled me to go to different people's houses, to troubleshoot, to problem solve, to fix things. The further I got into my trade, I got into more gas fitting work. And again, I did commercial buildings, residential buildings, but again, fell in love with that service aspect, you know, going in and someone has no heat and problem solving what's wrong with their furnace, getting their heat back on, you know, you feel like you're helping people, as well as using your brain and, you know, sorting out problems from point A to point C, really kind of enjoyed that. I also did a lot of estimating at the end of my kind of time in the field before I got into instructing. I would go and quote jobs for people. So whether it was small commercial or residential renovations or just retrofits of furnaces and boilers, I did some of that work as well.
That's really exciting. I mean, and that just lends to what we say on the podcast all the time is you're never bored working in the trades, and helping people is a big, it really affects your sense of pride as well. You go home at the end of the day, really proud of the things that you did, even if you don't say a word. It's just, you know, it brings that pride. It's really great. Yes, you've definitely explored a lot of the aspects, right? That sounds really exciting. I'm a welder, so I don't know, you know, much of that, but troubleshooting too, that, like you said, it's never boring. You're never mm-hmm. bored, really. Right?
Yeah. You know, just figuring out weird problems that no one has been able to figure out before you gives you that kind of sense of empowerment that, hey, I can kind of solve any problem. This is really neat. And you're right about the pride going home and knowing that you've helped someone, whether or not you can reflect on that 10 years later, that specific person, they appreciate the fact that you were able to, you know, get their water back on or unplug their drain or fix their heat for them. Yeah. And even if it goes unsaid, I think that, you know, being in that service tech aspect of the industry is such an important role to play.
It definitely is. And that might lead to my next question for you. What is your favorite aspect of your trade of choice?
So 100% the problem solving and troubleshooting. Solving problems for people, being able to fix things, and being ethical and honest. You know, sometimes, as we all know, there are companies out there that just aren't ethical and honest in certain sectors. And being someone who can be open and honest with customers and get to the bottom of their problems and give them reasonable solutions to them and get things back up and going. Because we all know, not everyone's in the greatest financial situation. And even right now, due to COVID, it's not always easy to pick, you know, the gold star option. Providing people with reasonable solutions that are still done correctly was something that I always kind of enjoyed. I kind of felt a sense of pride in, you know, being honest and solving problems.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. And yeah, especially now with everybody's, a lot of us have lost employment because of COVID. And I mean, you need heat. I don't know what the temperature is in Victoria, because it's always beautiful there. I'm in Alberta and like it's snowing, you know, and it's the wind is like hurricane force wind. I don't want to go without heat, right? Or hot water, whatever the case may be. So when I need you and then, you know, maybe, you know, I haven't worked in a while, that's really key to be honest and to be true and help out for sure. Okay, so next question. What obstacles have you overcome along the way?
I think for me, the biggest obstacle, and I think that this has been something that I've heard from other colleagues in the trades, is that sense of self-doubt, whether or not, you know, coming out of school, I could actually do the things in the field that I'd been trained to do. And along the way, I kind of had to overcome that, because you can't let that sense of self-doubt cripple you and make you second guess yourself and judge everything that you're doing. And it took a long time to kind of get past the point where I could say, hey, you know, like I do know I'm right. I do know my stuff, and it's going to come together. You know, I might have to think about some things longer on jobs that I haven't done before. But everybody does. And realizing that it's not just a you thing, getting beyond the point at which you feel like, okay, yeah, I really do know my stuff. I'm just going to dive in there and do it. And I've heard it before, and I know it's not just me. I was really fortunate to have people that put me in situations where I had to challenge myself in that way and had to believe in myself during my apprenticeship. And I think that really paid off in that regard for me, just being able to have that belief that I could do it, that I belong here, and that sense of, you know, this is totally correct.
Yeah. I've got no, this. And if you didn't know your stuff, you wouldn't be an instructor. That's for sure. Right. No. So you definitely know your stuff. Definitely. So next question is, did you have other women you could look to for support during your journey? You did mention that there was a woman in your class 10 weeks ahead of you, I think you said.
Yeah, so I didn't really get to connect with her when I was in Foundations. I think we knew each other casually in passing. I was really fortunate when I was in my fourth year of training to have another woman in my class. And we leaned on each other in class and worked together quite a bit. And I'm still in contact with her today. But I found that she was living in Victoria at the time, and I was actually living up island in a different city. And in the city where I lived, it was almost next to no visible women in the trades. A lot of when I started my career was at the very beginning or the infancy of social media. So we didn't have the opportunity to connect like we do nowadays. And I think I ran into one female electrician on a job site in my first 5 years on the job. And it was really an incredible thing to see another woman on the job site. So in terms of through kind of my apprenticeship and my early journey into the trades, I didn't have a ton of other women I could lean on. Although right now I would say things have drastically shifted. You know, I'm working in an institution where we have five other trades women that are faculty members in different trades at Camosun. And, you know, I can connect with them and I can converse with them and lean on them. We have a phenomenal community of tradeswomen here on Vancouver Island who connect with each other, both on social media and when, you know, we're allowed to interact with each other at volunteer events, like the Hero Work event I talked about earlier. And we also have the ability to connect with people almost globally now. You know, it's something that's come out of COVID. Again, we can connect with people kind of across the country in Canada via social media, via Zoom, via other platforms, and get support that way. And I found that really empowering. And of course, you and I were both down in Ann Arbor, Michigan last year. I think it was last year. I'm losing track of time here being cooped up in my basement. But, you know, there was a tremendous amount of women down there from the United Association, and there were opportunities to network with them as well. So I think now my support system was greater than it ever was when I was an apprentice. I think that, you know, when my apprenticeship was in its infancy, I was really fortunate to have excellent male peers who supported me and lifted me up through my journey and treated me as if I belonged there and I was their equal. And I feel profoundly fortunate that the journeymen that I worked with treated me with that respect and believed in me, because I know that's not every woman's experience out in the field. So, you know, I have to kind of extend my gratitude to them because they played a really important role in training me to be a mentor for other people, whether it's male apprentices, female apprentices, male or female students. I kind of have always wanted to follow in their footsteps and lead by the example that they set for me. So,
You know, that's, I mean, everything that you said is just so on mark, and there, I want to comment about every single thing that you said there, but, number one, I think it's really important for women to support other women and then bring more women in. You know, we're expecting a shortage of tradespeople coming up right in the next 5 to 10 years. Right. So women are a really untapped market because they don't consider careers in the trades. So yes, I agree with bringing more women in, but it's also the men. The men, people sometimes get that idea that men mistreat us or disregard us or something like that. And that's not always the case. I have spoken up in another podcast as well that they're my brothers and they're our brothers, right? So not only do they bring us in and welcome us, usually, I mean, it's very rare now to find the one that is kind of rude, but also they'll defend us when we're not around when we're not around and somebody else has something perhaps harsh to say. And that's happened time and time again. So I think that we really need to point out that men really are our allies. We're not, you know, I would never diss the, especially the UA brothers. They're pretty incredible, right? And also you and I down at ITP week. Yes, that was a couple, I think that was 2018 when I was an instructor there. The next year I was there when I was with UA Canada, just filling in and helping out. So I didn't get to take any courses. I got to sit in on a few, but I didn't really, you know, get to sit for the whole course. But yeah, what an incredible program for United Association. It's a instructor training program every August for 2 weeks, except for this past August with COVID, it was canceled, but they have such a great program to train our instructors, right? And it's really great. With me returning as an instructor with UA, my local in Calgary soon, I don't know, hopefully it's a go for this August and hopefully I can go again, because I'm really looking forward to it and seeing all the women and all the other instructors from United States and Canada, right? Not all of them go, but most of them go. So it's a pretty incredible week It's intense, but it's fun. I didn't realize people that the pin collectors and pin traders from all the different UAs and all the sticker, like they're everywhere, man. The whole campus is like, there's people laying on the grass, you know, with their pins and stuff out. That was pretty cool. Little side note there. Anyways, sorry. So next question is, what does a day in your life look like?
So right now, because I'm instructing, I am up at 5 a.m. Because my kids get up at 5 a.m. every day, and I get them fed breakfast and I get myself out the door, and I'm usually on campus by 7, or here in my office behind the computer by 7, getting ready for my students. And my students pop into their class usually around 8 a.m. Because of COVID, we're doing things in a hybrid format. So one day I may be teaching theory from behind my computer screen, just like right now, or I might be on campus with them doing practical projects in a face-to-face format. And yeah, there's a degree of preparation that goes on for that first hour of your day, sorting out your emails, preparing any last minute things you need for your lesson. I have my time with my students, whether it's teaching them hands-on or giving lectures and integrating activities into theory work. And then my day usually ends with my students around 3 p.m. And then I spend my evening marking their projects and preparing my lesson for the next day, and hanging out with my family, taking the dog for a hike and hanging out with the kids and getting their homework all squared away. So yeah, busy, 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 but productive.
It's a busy life, I know, but it's a good life. It's a great life. Mm-hmm. That sounds like, and especially, I'm just imagining everything you said, and in beautiful Victoria. If anybody doesn't know where Victoria, BC is, Google it, because it's gorgeous there.
Well, you had mentioned it's snowing there. It was, when I came home from work today, it was 7 degrees and sunny outside, and just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. It's actually supposed to get really cold here tonight and tomorrow. And I don't know if you can hear the wind in the background, but I'm on the windy side of the house and it's like hurricane force. So yeah, the winter has arrived again. It was nice for a few days, but yeah, beautiful Victoria, BC. Okay. So the next question I have for you is, do you have any advice for others that may be looking to join the trades?
Find your passion. Once you've had the opportunity to kind of look into things and make a decision, if you've fallen in love with a trade, don't let anything deter you. Stay resilient, stay focused on your goals, and don't let people get you down. You know, sometimes you will encounter an employer who isn't a right fit for you, or a mentor who isn't a right fit for you. Don't think that that is the only option that you have. Explore other avenues, request to be mentored by someone else, find the right fit for you. Not everyone goes together. It's kind of like oil and water, right? Sometimes two things don't mix. And sometimes your first experience might teach you something that you can lend to future experiences. So whether that first experience or foray into the trade that you fell in love with was negative or not, it's going to give you some skills to move forward with. Don't let things get you down. There is a spot for you in the trades, whether it starts off that way or not. And I think that, you know, a lot of times we find that we doubt ourselves and we don't have the right people around us to maybe support us and pick us up in jobs. And we need to understand that we are valuable and we need to move on and find someone who will lift us up and will support us and provide that mentorship and teach us, because that's what the trades are about. It's an experience in learning, and your apprenticeship is a journey in which you and your journey person or your mentor work together to, you know, build on that foundation of information that you got in school. So it has to be a really nice harmony of two parties working together.
Yeah, no, that's really, really great. And like you said earlier, with the internet the way it is right now, sometimes if the people you're working with maybe aren't the right fit for you, you can always find support online. I'm not sure exactly what you have available in BC, but here we have Alberta Women in Trades Facebook group, and it's just if you can't ask those tough questions to the coworkers you have, you can definitely ask it on that Facebook page, and you'll get, you know, up to 100. I mean, well, there's 1300 members for Alberta Women in Trades, so you might get 1300 different suggestions to the issue that you're having, right? So that's really, really, that's a good point you make for sure. So the final remarks are yours. Is there anything else you'd like to share that we haven't talked about, that you think is important to share on the podcast?
I think once you've found your place in the trades, do realize that your voice matters. I think that it's really important to know that you, as a female tradesperson, can positively inspire others in the future, and that your value is huge in that regard. You know, I personally didn't realize the impact that I could have just by reaching out to other people, by giving advice and positivity around being another woman in the trades. It's really important that we share our stories, because there's a tremendous amount of value in that knowledge we have in our own journeys, and we can really inspire or impact another person's ability to navigate that journey as well. Being supportive of others and just realizing that your voice has a lot of value as a woman in the trades. I think that's something that's really important to remember. And the community that exists with women in the trades is absolutely phenomenal here, at least in Victoria, and also in BC. So there are so many support systems that if you're struggling, just reach out to them. There are phenomenal Facebook groups, kind of like the one you mentioned, for Alberta, and other associations like Build Together BC, and the BC Centre for Women in Trades that support women in trades here locally. It's just phenomenal, the community in general here. That sense of community is tremendous.
Yeah, and I always keep an eye on BC too, because you're really doing amazing things to increase the number of women in trades in BC. You really are. And it's really funny because the East Coast is doing really incredible things as well. So it's almost like both coasts have got the right idea. It's those of us in between that are, we're watching and we're learning, and hopefully, you know, we can increase the number of women across the country and into the United States. We do have some listeners in the United States as well. So yes, well, thank you. Anything else you'd like to add?
I think that's it. I mean, I could keep talking and talking, but I think you get tired of hearing my voice eventually.
No, it's always great to talk to fellow tradeswomen. You and I haven't chatted for a while. So yeah, it's great. I'm so glad that you agreed to do a podcast. I really appreciate your feedback and everything. I mean, sharing your experiences, right? Your story is very important to share. I'm glad that you're an instructor because I know you're doing amazing things. The programs that you're teaching are very interesting, especially the Women in Trades program. I'm really happy to hear that. I'd love to see more of those programs. And yeah, thanks for doing all that you do. Thank you for being you. How about that? Anyways, okay, so I'm going to close out the podcast, but don't go anywhere because I want to send you some swag and stuff. Everybody that does a podcast gets some swag. So thank you very much, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and check us out at trailblazersinc.ca.